Amen. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Namde Yeshu verunu. Hallelujah. Our Jesus is coming back to take us home. Hallelujah. That is the hope of all of the believers everywhere. Namde ettam veliya prathyasha ennu parna namde Karthav. Oh hallelujah. Vegam verunu. He is coming back. Adana namde aasha. Adana namde dhairyam. That is our strength. That is our hope. This morning there is no greater joy than experiencing the presence of God. Hallelujah. Nammal ivide anubhavikkunna ee aaradhana nammal swargathil pombol adu 24/7 aanu ee aaradhana nadakkunnathu. Hallelujah. This worship is going to take place 24/7. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Stotram. When we think about heaven, all of us think about different things. Heaven is a place where there is no more sickness. Heaven is a place where there is no more disease. Heaven is a place where there is no more pain. Heaven is a place where there is no more sorrow. Heaven is a place of joy, never-ending joy. Heaven is a place where the streets are made with gold. Heaven is a place where there is no sun or any moon or any stars, because God is the light there. Heaven is the place where we will be fully known. Heaven is the place where we will get to see our God with our own eyes. Heaven is the place where our bodies will put on immortality. Heaven is the place where there is no more death. Heaven is the place where there is no more sadness. That is our hope. That is our desire, to go to the Lord, to be with Him forever. But some places, sometimes we think of heaven as a place where there will be never-ending KFC. Heaven is a place where you can play basketball and soccer and tennis, and you will not have any problem with your feet, and your muscles will be 100% perfect. You will not get tired. You can play. You can enjoy. You can be free. You will get to see your loved ones. You get to see your fathers, your great-grandfathers, your ancestors before you. You will get to see them. Heaven is a place where we sometimes imagine that we will finally get that mansion that is listed on real estate that we can't buy. We sometimes think of heaven as this place where our ultimate dreams will be fulfilled. Everything that we desire will be given to us in heaven. Heaven is a place where we are imagining we will finally go to Jesus and God and ask Him the questions that are in our heart of heart. Heaven is a place where we are looking forward to go and ask Peter, how did it feel to walk on water? And Peter will say, why don't you try it yourself? We imagine heaven to be this great place with so many things, fulfilled desires, no more pain, no more sorrows, happiness forevermore. There is joy, and there is healing, and there is deliverance. This is all what we imagine heaven to be. The Word of God tells us, heaven is even greater than our imagination. Right now, whatever you imagine heaven to be, whatever is your finest imagination of heaven, heaven is greater a million times, a billion times, a trillion times greater than your imagination. In our imagination, heaven is so great. Heaven is this ultimate place. But sometimes we misunderstand heaven. Let us go to the Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. യോഹന്നാൻ എഴുതിയ സുവിശേഷം 14 അധ്യായം അതിൻ്റെ 1 മുതൽ 6 വാക്യം വരെ ആരെങ്കിലും എടുത്ത് വായിച്ച് സഹായിച്ച John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Amen. Hallelujah. When you read that verse again, John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This passage that we read is a passage of great joy. When a believer reads this, they should read this with great anticipation, great joy. There is a day when Jesus said he will come back. He is returning and he will take us to be there with him. Amen. Verse 3 or verse 4, 3 we'll read. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Hallelujah. This is our anticipation, children of God. That the same Jesus who died on the cross was buried and raised up 3 days later is promised us, his disciples, that he's going to come back. And where he is, he's going to take us. To this, I have a question. Sometimes we misunderstand the presence of God and where Jesus is. Is Jesus here in our midst? Yes, he is. Where two or three are gathered in his name, who is in our midst? Jesus, he said, when you gather in my name, I'm in your midst. So can you tell me where in this room Jesus is? Is he standing next to me? Is he sitting beside you? Is he standing in the center? Is he floating somewhere in the cloud? Can you tell me where he is? Can you point towards Jesus and tell me? Even in the churches beside us where the worship is going on, they're also saying the same thing. Where two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus is there in our midst. Is Jesus just sort of showing up in all the different churches, like disappearing? Oh, now they have gathered in my name. I need to show up there too. How does this happen? How is God or Jesus showing up in different places? There's this misunderstanding that we realize. You see, it is Jesus' presence that is in our midst. And whenever we as the children of God are worshiping him and gathered together in a place, we are being ushered into the presence of the living God. It is not that God is coming to us. We are being transported spiritually into the heavenly kingdom. In fact, I would say that even as you're going outside, even as you're driving your car, even when you're in your homes, even when you're sleeping, I would say that you are in the presence of the living God. Each and every single believer experiences this awesome presence of God, not only on Sunday morning, but every moment of their life. This is a truth. But we as human beings cannot fully understand or grasp this reality. But Jesus is saying, right now, even though you are being transported spiritually, all of you are being seated on earth physically. Does that make sense? When you're driving your car, you're not being transported physically into the kingdom of heaven. If that happens, then good luck for the people who are in front of you and behind you. I've seen sometimes when you drive this car, there is this rear bumper sticker. It says, in case of rapture, this vehicle will be unmanned. I've seen that, you know, like bumper stickers. People are saying, it's a way to say that I'm a Christian. It's like, if the rapture happens right now, this vehicle is not in my control. When we are being transported physically into the kingdom of God, our bodies will also be transported, not just spiritually, but physically. Even when Paul saw a vision and he said, I was captured into the third heavens. He said, I do not know if this person did this physically or just spiritually? Was it in his body or not? But he experienced a heavenly visitation. He able to visit the third heavens. But even when Paul writes about this encounter, he doesn't know whether he was transported physically or spiritually. He was in the spirit. It says there that he was taken into heaven. Isaiah, on the year that King Uzziah died, my eyes were opened and I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. There are people who have experienced the heavenly reality while they're on earth. But my question is, I don't know, or I don't even know if they know, if they were physically transported into heaven or not. What Jesus is telling his disciples here is, I will come back and take you to be with me. that you may be physically where I am. Now, where is God seated? Where is Jesus seated? On the right-hand side of the Father. If you ask me to point to where Jesus is, he is there sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. He has not physically come down here in our midst. Instead, we are being transported into the heavenly realm. We are being transported into the temple of the living God. Let us turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. There are 6 verses here and 6 verses in Ephesians chapter 1 that I want to read. Ephesians chapters 2 verses 1 to 6. I will read it. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. And pay attention to this, verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Where are you being seated right now? You are being seated in heavenly realms. It says there that God has raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. The reality is, spiritually, you are in heaven. But physically, you are here on earth. Spiritually, you are sitting on the right-hand side of God the Father. Spiritually, you are one with Christ. Spiritually, you are sitting on the throne room. This is spiritual truth. But the problem is, our physical body, our physical mind, and our physical thought has not caught up with this reality yet. We are still stuck in this earthly realm. Our minds are still focused on earthly things. After church service, some of you are thinking, where should we go and get food right after this? What is a good place? Where should we get the next food from? Some of you are thinking, oh man, today's nap will be perfect after Sunday afternoon, holy nap. It'll be so nice. After church, it is the best nap. Our minds are still focused on earthly things. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that that's wrong. The problem is, our earthly, physical, fleshly body has yet to catch up with the spiritual reality that is to be seated with Christ in heaven. Because honestly, if our eyes truly understand the spiritual truth, who cares what happens to you on earth? Who cares if you don't get that promotion? You got the ultimate promotion in heaven. If that is your true reality, and earth is just something that is passing, then that is where our eyes is focused on. Let us read more about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And this is what Paul is praying to the believers in Ephesus. He's saying, verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. What is the church? Let's read verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Children of God, we are the church. We are his disciples. We are the body of Christ. Paul makes that emphasis clear and clear. We are the body of Christ. Where is Christ? In heaven. He is seated on the throne room. He is on the right hand side of the Father. If we are his body, where will we be? With Christ. This spiritual reality can only be understood if you don't look with your earthly eyes, but you start looking with your heart eyes. That is why Paul is saying in verse 18 of chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. If your heart eyes, your spiritual eyes, your mind eye is awakened and it starts seeing the spiritual reality as greater than the earthly reality, what can come against you? You are already being transported into the throne room of God. Right now, the reason why God is in the center is because even though physically our address is here at this Hope Seventh-day Adventist Church, our spiritual address is in heaven, in front of God, worshiping him with all the saints around the world who are worshiping him. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And every believer, every disciple of him is being ushered into the throne room of grace and saying, here I am, Lord. Use me. You are worthy of worship. Melaya namam. Hallelujah. The name that is above all names. He is worthy of praise. Children of God, we are being transported, not just here in this earthly realm. Let us ask God to open up our spiritual eyes so that we fully understand the weight of this statement. When we go back to John chapter 14, I'm going to end it here. This is how Jesus starts that statement. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus appears in the temple. And he drives out the robbers, the thieves from the temple. And the people around him asked him, in what authority are you doing this? What sign do you have that you are from God? And then Jesus responds, tear down this temple, brick by brick, stone by stone, destroy every single thing. In 3 days, I will rebuild this temple. See, the people who were around him, the Jewish people, did not understand. From the time that Nehemiah came, Ezra came, and Zerubbabel built the temple, there is ongoing work that has been happening for almost 300, 400 years in the temple. The work will not be complete even when Jesus dies on the cross. King Herod is building this temple and expanding it. He's adding Roman soldiers, legion stations. Herod's palace is right beside the Holy Temple. So this temple becomes known as Herod's Temple. Jesus was not talking about Herod's Temple. He said, look at these stones. All of them will come crashing down one day. And it happened in AD 70. 40 years after, roundabout 40 years after Jesus passed away, his prophecy that these stones will come down were fulfilled. The Roman army walked into Herod's palace and tore it down piece by piece. The Jewish people have not yet found a temple ever since. There is no Jewish temple ever since that day. They have synagogues. There is only one remnant, the Wailing Wall. If you go to Israel, you can see the faithful Orthodox Jews standing in front of this one portion that is left, the Wailing Wall, standing like this. That's their vision. But Jesus said, 3 days, I will build a temple. What is this house? In my Father's house are many mansions. What is this Father's house? It is the temple of God. When Jesus walked into Herod's palace temple, he said, you have made my Father's house a den of robbers and thieves. And he's so frustrated, he says, tear down this farce of my Father's house. I will build an everlasting Father's house in 3 days. Give me 3 days. That is the house we're going to. The mansion is not some cottage in Muskoka. It is not a giant building in Park Place. I don't know what Park Place is, but if you have played Monopoly, you know that's the biggest house you can get. It is not some grand room that you can get and you can do whatever you want. Finally, you can afford a house with a pool in it, with a sauna and everything. That is not what heaven is. Heaven is not a buffet table. Heaven is not a place of earthly pleasures, brothers and sisters. It is a place where every pleasure of yours will be satisfied in Christ completely. Remember a few weeks ago when I spoke this message, I said, all of us are being chasing after something, whether it's bags, shoes, jobs, money, race, whatever. When we get that, are we satisfied? No. It goes on more because we are searching for something that is almost like eternity. No human being has ever stopped pursuing and said, enough is enough. I am fully satisfied in what I have today. Not a single human being has reached there. We press on because we want something more. We want to increase in some other way. But our full desire, all of these earthly pleasures pale in comparison to the pleasure that is found in Christ. Every desire of your heart, your heart's desire is to be loved. Jesus loves you. Your heart's desire is to be known. Jesus knows you. Your heart's desire is for all things to be given to you. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is El Roy, the one who sees me. He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He is my all in all. Once you get that, what treasure on this earth will compare to that? This is our mansion. When our eyes are transformed and our heart eyes, our spiritual eyes are opened, and we see that we are seated already in the heavenly realm. But a day is coming when the trumpet will blow and the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are awake will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. We will be caught up in the heavens, and what is mortal will put on immortality. What is corrupted will become incorruptible. That is us. And we will be with the Lord, worshiping him forevermore. That is where we will be satisfied. That is why heaven is heaven. Yes, heavens, the streets are made of gold. Yes, there is fruits there like the Garden of Eden. Yes, there is a river that flows that makes people's hearts glad. But greater than that, than anything we could even imagine, is to be fully satisfied in the love of Christ. We will behold him and we will be like him. That is the marriage feast of the Lamb. That is what we are waiting for. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you have made an eternal house for us, not made with human hands, but made with your sacrifice, your precious blood. You have bought us the ultimate mansion to be with you, to be fully known by you, to be fully loved by you. Lord, we long for that day when there is no more suffering, there's no more pain, no more sickness, no more heart attack, no more disease, no more cancer. Lord, we long for that day when we will be one with you, where we will be not just engaged as the bride of Christ, but we will be your bride, and a marriage will happen, and people from everywhere, east, west, north, and south, will attend this marriage feast. We long for that day, Lord. Father, but as we live on this earth, God, I pray that, Lord, sometimes we get overwhelmed by our earthly situation. We look with our earthly eyes and we look at our situation and we say, Lord, where is our help coming from? But Lord, help us to be like the psalmist, to lift up our eyes to the hills, to the one who made the heavens and the earth. Lord, we thank you that you have seated us in heavenly places, that right now, even though physically we are here in the spiritually, we are in the throne room, your throne room, worshiping you in truth and in spirit. This is what you desire. A day is coming when people will worship you in truth and in spirit. And here we are, Lord. We want to offer you our complete worship. Lord, as the table is before us, the table is a sign that the marriage feast has not happened, but it is going to take place. You said you will not take part of this table until the feast in heaven. Lord, prepare us. We want to be your body. We want to be one with you. You are our Christ. You are our head. We surrender ourselves in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.